The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
I'm Avron Urison and welcome to the AutJet Business Show. Wow, it's been a long time since I've been in the seat running the show. And it brings back a lot of memories from many years ago when we started with the AutJet Business Development Show. But Dave Zidell is doing a great job and runs an amazing show, which you can hear him every week. He's asked me to stand in for him this evening, but it's a great honor and opportunity for me to be here. So we've got a really great show lined up this evening. And before I introduce my guest on our AutJet Business Show, I just want to tell our listeners and tell all of you that actually it's Aut South Africa's 90th anniversary this year. I mean, that's just insane. It was launched in South Africa in 1936, and it's been running for 90 years in South Africa. And there's a huge program that they are developing for this year. And really what they're asking for, and it's really a call out, that they'd like anybody who's actually been in, all alumni essentially of Aut South Africa, to get in contact with Aut South Africa. If you or your parents or your family in any way have been touched by Aut South Africa, then you should contact the Aut South Africa offices. And if you have stories how it's affected anyone in your lives and touched anyone in your lives, you should contact the Aut South Africa officers, and you can contact them on 011-728-7154. That's 011-728-7154. Ariella or Helene, I'll be giving an address later on in the evening that you can email them. And there's also a sponsorship or pillar program that they're also launching, which we'll talk about a bit about later in the show. But putting that aside, we're now going to welcome our guest this evening, Amanda Blankfield-Kossoff. Welcome. Lovely to have you on our show this evening.
Thanks.
Now, Amanda's the founder and CEO of Empowervate, Trust Youth Citizens Actions Program. That's actually quite a big mouthful, but we're going to let Amanda unpack that for us this evening. And before we get into the details of the program that she runs, and that's really what we're going to discuss this evening on the AutJet Business Show, I'm going to ask Amanda just to basically tell us maybe a bit about yourself, how you got here, and a bit about Empowervate Trust Youth Citizens Action Program.
Thank you. So firstly, just to say that I'm very happy to be here. I've been working with AutJet for a long time, because when I started this organization, I actually had a mentor or two or three from AutJet. So now I'm also a trainer. So I've come full circle in the program, which is very cool.
That's so exciting. Someone who's been touched by the AutJet program, and you're back here training and helping people. And that's really what AutJet is about. And it's so exciting to have you on the show and understand in terms of what you're doing to actually affect people's lives. Just before we go there, Amanda, I just want to tell everybody, if they want to interact with us on the show this evening, they can send a WhatsApp through on 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. Send us a WhatsApp. If you've got any questions or any input you've got into the show, we'd love to hear from you.
Great, thank you. So just to give a bit of background on the mouthful of all the names you read out.
Yes.
So the program itself is called YCAP, which is the Youth Citizens Action Program. And that program was actually started when I was a marketing manager at Africa Tikkun. So I was working there, I was running the marketing department. We had to do a youth dialogue, and we had grade 10 learners from all different backgrounds talking about how they would solve problems in the country. And it was a beautiful event. They were motivated. They came up with beautiful ideas, and then they went home and nothing happened. And I said to Mark Lubner, can I change this to an action program? Because just talking is not really going to solve anything. And he said, go for it. You have free rein. And that's always a good thing to tell me. So yes. Off I went, and I designed this whole Youth Citizens Action Program with all the stakeholders that we had at Africa Etikun that would fit into this. And it actually, all the planets were in alignment and everything worked. And it was amazing to like launch a whole program that went from just an idea to having all nine provinces involved, having the Department of Education involved, having schools across the country doing these projects that they could actually make positive changes in their lives right now while they were young people, not waiting for adults, not waiting until they finished school. So that was how the whole thing started. And then after incubating the program at Africa Tikkun for 3.5 years, I said, look, this is actually my passion. I want to do it full time. Can I take it into its own NGO? Got the blessing, took the Department of Education with me and the funder, who was Deutsche Bank.
Right.
And we started Empower Vate Trust. And that's how it all began.
So Empower Vate is its own own NGO.
Yes.
And that's an incredible story. I mean, what was your biggest challenge moving from Africa Tikkun to actually getting Empower Vate set up or actually becoming a reality?
Well, the biggest challenge was I was a marketing manager. I was not, you know, trained in any of the other departments that I'd have to suddenly learn. So I had to get, that's why I went to Orchet. I had to get finance mentorship because I wasn't a finance person. I had to get mentorship on how to set up the organization, find the contacts that I needed, get lawyers, get, you know, people to set all the NGO things and the PBO and all of those things had to be set up. BE, I needed help with all of that. And then also, you know, being a leader and now managing the program without the, you know, the whole back office of working at another NGO, which everything is done, you know, behind the scenes. Well, I had to do all those things. It was me in front and behind the scenes. So it was quite an adjustment, but it was exciting. And I was excited to learn how to do it. And here we are. Now it's 13 years later.
Wow. So 13 years Empower Vate has been running. And just tell us, before we go to the course and everything around, tell us about who you're interacting with, what impact you're having, and how do you actually measure your success?
So we actually work with school children across the country, primary and secondary schools, but we work in schools that are mainly public schools. So rural areas and townships are our main focus area. But we also work with schools that just want to be part of it, whether they are, you know, private schools or ex-Model C schools. We welcome them because we want social cohesion between different kids. We've even had King David take part 1 year.
Right, okay.
So we
I'm
have
sure
all those
very
schools.
Very successful, of course.
Very successful, yes, of course. But those are the people that we work with, and then we work with the teachers as well. So the teachers become the mentors that we train, and then they work with the learners. So it's a whole train the trainer kind of program. And we work with kids that want to actually make a change. So we don't say all the kids have to do it. It's not, you know, a compulsory program. They have to volunteer to be part of it. So we get those people who are keen, and then others watch them and say, hey, I should have done that, and they get inspired.
So it's high school kids?
Primary and high school.
Primary and high school. How do you measure your success?
Yes, so we've actually got UNISA as one of our research partners. They've been working with us for over 15 years, actually. And they do research reports for us, and they do studies, and they publish journal articles and articles and books and all kinds of things about the success of what we're doing. So we're very happy that we've got a very credible organization that is doing research for us and making sure that we are, you know, being impactful.
Right. Amazing. Amazing work, and just congrats. I mean, to set something up like that in the South African environment and show the successes that you are just absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
So now we can maybe move on to Orchet and sort of the program that you've developed. How did you get involved with? Yes, you were obviously a mentee, let's say. And then did Orchet approach you? Did you approach them? How did you get involved with the
program? Mean to be a trainer?
Yes.
They actually approached me. They were like, we need to train people to do business plans in a more productive way, not just writing things that don't actually mean anything practically. Because that's what a lot of people think. I'll just write this whole thick document and then never look at it again. It becomes a doorstop. So our program is very practical, and that's what they liked about it. It's very, you know, step by step. It's a 10-step process, and if you do each step, you'll cover each element that you have to have in your business plan, and then you can, you know, flesh it out after that. But at least to get the ball rolling and to not be so daunted by the fact that you have to write that document, they thought this was a very good grounding for everyone.
Great.
So that's how it started.
Okay, and then you started, they said, come in and start a program. Did you have the set program? Did you have to design the program for Orchet? Or is that your standard program that
you're running program.
Schools?
It's my standard program. Yeah, I just obviously changed it up because now it's businesses, it's not schools, but all the steps are the same. Okay. So actually kids are getting business training. They can become social entrepreneurs. They can, you know, do what they want with these steps whenever they want. Even while they're at school, they can start businesses. Mm. So that's the beauty of it. Like, I wish I'd learned that when I was at school.
And it seems to be lacking. Is it not covered in any businesses, any courses that kids will choose at school, or is it totally something that's left out of the syllabus?
Well, there are some programs that do it. Like, it would fit into life orientation. And in fact, we've just been included in the textbooks for grade 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. So they've seen the benefit of our program in relation to the curriculum. But then also EMS in primary schools. But then the problem is that a lot of things at school, you don't have time to do a lot of practicals. It's all theory, a little bit of practical, whereas our program is mainly practical and then putting together a portfolio of evidence and doing an oral presentation with PowerPoint and things like that. So ours is adding that extra element of actually doing something. You know, you actually have to prove that you made a change to what you were trying to do, not just write an essay or something.
So it's getting practical in terms of what you – it's not just going to AI or ChatGPT and saying, give me a business plan, because that's nice. It can write it out for you. But the thing is, how do you actually get practical in that? I think in my experience in business and also helping businesses over all these years, that's probably one of the biggest issues is taking the business plan and putting it into practice, which is the most difficult part, to making a success of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. So now we really want to delve into the program, understand it, explain to us how it's set up, how it's structured, and we can run through a couple of the steps and also understand in terms of practical examples and that you can share that businesses have used.
Yeah, sure. So the whole process is a 10-step process, starting with how to form and manage a team. So that's the HR element. And then going through to roles and responsibilities, which is obviously like who's going to do what, like choosing the right people for the right role, which is really difficult. Some people don't know how to do that properly, and that can really break your business. Mm-hmm. So going through, like, we tell people to do SWOT analysis of the people and say, what are their strengths? Like, what are they good at? And what are they not good at? So that you can see where they would fit in best. So my example always is, you know, don't put someone in a finance or a treasury or kind of that kind of role if they're not really brilliant at accounting or maths. Like, you wouldn't want that. And even if they have been studying those things, if they're not passionate about it, then they're also not the right people. So attitude is very important, and aptitude and learning. So those things, those elements come into the HR section of it. And then there's the identifying. What are the things that you want to do? Like, where's the gap in the market? Yeah. What's the opportunity that you want to work on?
So is HR the first step of the program?
Yeah, because you need people to run a business.
Okay, so I want to spend a bit more time unpacking that and what we're going to look. There are 10 steps, and we've got some time to go through it and really – We'd like to come out of the show that people have learned something and they can take some value adding to their lives and their businesses that they're building. Great. So you're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Avril Neurison. I'm standing in for Dave Zardel. I'm interviewing Amanda Blankfield-Kosser, founder and CEO of Empowervate, Trust Youth Citizens Action Program. And if you'd like to interact with us or ask any questions to Amanda on her program or what it means, please WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. And we are very happy to take your questions, inputs, and comments.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
I'm Avril Neurison, and I'm standing in for Dave Zardel on the AutJet Business Show this evening. And it's so great to have you tuned in and listening. I'm interviewing Amanda Blankfield-Kosser, founder and CEO of Empowervate, Trust Youth Citizens Action Program. And we're busy talking about Amanda's program, and we're going through the various steps of the program and what the learnings are for the individuals who've gone through the program. And hopefully you can get some ideas of how you can implement it for yourselves. So we are discussing that. We started with HR. I think we said that's the first step of your program. Mm-hmm. And I want to just go into that a bit deeper, and maybe you can just discuss it, Amanda. Like, so what do you teach? What do you teach the guys on your program? What do you tell them? How do they learn the lessons of choosing the right people for their business?
So firstly, they have to check the right, you know, skills and expertise and experience, like those normal things that are in HR. But another thing that's very important is attitude. You can't train for attitude. If you get someone who has all the skills but a bad attitude, you don't have the right person. So that's something that they need to understand. And then once you get the right people, then you have to see how they interact together. And that's a whole different ballgame. Mm. So we talk a lot about how you develop a team, because having a group of people is one thing, but develop them into a team is something else. So we say you need to understand how teams work. You have to understand how to make everyone work together towards a common goal. You have to see that everyone's on the same page, because maybe their goal is different to your goal and it's not in alignment. So their personal goals should fit into the business goals as well, so that they are actually working towards something personally at the same time. Mm. And then also conflict management, you know, saying that conflict's not a bad thing if it's run and managed properly. But if it isn't, then it is a bad thing. So it depends on how you work on the conflict management. Mm. So understanding how to confront people if there's something that's going wrong, how to have difficult conversations. All of that we cover in the toolkit, so that, you know, people can understand that it's not always going to be plain sailing and everyone's getting along and kumbaya. It's not like
that. I love that idea, because I think people think it's just about the business idea and what you're doing, and really you can get anyone together and put the team together, but it's not. It's often more about the team than actually what the business idea is. You can have the best idea in the world, but if the people don't get on or can't see the same vision, and I think often businesses are started that there's no discussion of what that vision is. What's the end point, right? Some people want to exit early, some want to exit late. And I mean, I think a lot of the times that discussion is just not embarked upon.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a problem.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, so you started by saying that's important. Put your team together. Make sure you understand each other. Make sure you've got common goals. Make sure you can talk about it and you can actually have conflict and resolution.
Exactly. And then also we say ground rules, but that means basically, you know, what is the culture? What are the things that are non-negotiables here? What can we do? What can't we do? And what happens if we do something that's wrong? So that kind of discussion is important. And then obviously it goes into policies and things like that later. But in this specific section, we're not doing those, you know, kinds of compliance issues. We're talking more about people on the ground. Like, how are they going to interact? How are they going to find out, you know, what is acceptable and what isn't? Like, especially nowadays, you get a lot of Generation Z people, like they have a very different concept of what working is. They're like, you know what, I just need a mental health day. I'm not going to come in tomorrow. That's not heard of. Like, we haven't had that before. So how do you deal with that? Even working in hybrid models, when people come to work 3 days a week, don't come the other two, how do you make sure those other 2 days are productive and they're not just partying at home? You know, so there's a lot of elements there.
Well, that's one of the questions I had here. I'd like to ask you, you know, obviously people used to go into the office 5 days a week or six or however many days a week, but then interact. So we're on this hybrid model here, that people working from home, et cetera. Do you find that, in your experience, that actually affects team building, working together as a team? Does it affect the outcome actually of the business?
I think it does, because if you, at least if you have 3 days a week, then it's better. But if you just hybrid, then it's very difficult to have that team mentality, because you don't have those personal interactions. You don't like stand by the water cooler and just chat about your weekend. You know, on a Zoom call, there's no time to go and talk in the corner about, you know, what happened, you know, at your son's 21st birthday. Like, where are you going to do that? So if you don't make spaces for that in an online format, then you're going to lose those relationships, and that's when you lose trust, when you lose all kinds of things, and things just do not work out. So you need to have those trust relationships and have those personal conversations. And that's so much easier in person.
What type of practical processes would you put people through on your course or your program to actually teach them those skills?
So we do say that you have to develop yourself as a person first. You have to understand your own strengths, your own weaknesses, your own likes, your own dislikes. You know, if you don't understand yourself, it's very hard to understand other people. You also need to build your own confidence and your own self-esteem. So that is very important, because if you have, let's say, ego issues, and now you have someone else who's, you know, touching your buttons, then you're going to have a blow up and it's going to be bad. But if you have worked on yourself as well, then it's much better, and you won't get pushed as much by someone else, because you'll understand that it's their issue, it's not your issue. So those kinds of things are very important. It's not only about interaction with others, it's about your own personal development, and personal development is key.
Fine. Step one, HR. So you've dealt with it. You spend time with the group at Orchet or your group. You take them through the process. And I think you're emphasizing this is probably the most important building block. Right?
For sure. No, it is.
Knowing who you're working with.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's step one, HR. Yes. Let's move on to step two.
So step two is just an extension of step one. So that's the roles and responsibilities. So making sure that the roles are set. Like, what roles do you need? Like, when you're hiring, you have to know what you're actually looking for. Not just, oh, they're nice people, let's just bring them in. But then you've got like five people doing the same thing. Doesn't work. So you need to actually know what role you're trying to fill. And then also know what are the responsibilities. And that's where things go wrong. People don't know exactly what's expected of them. There's no proper KPIs. There's no proper performance management. Then how are you going to make sure that people are on the same page? And then something goes wrong and they're like, well, we didn't know. We didn't know we were supposed to do that. Well, then how do you manage that? So that is the step two, is to make sure that everything is understood, everyone's on the same page. Yeah.
So let's for our listen. What do you want to define what a KPI is?
So a key performance indicator. Mm-hmm. So knowing what you're actually working towards, what kind of performance is expected of you, so that you can be measured and see that you've achieved those goals. Because if you don't know what they are, then you might achieve other goals, but not the goals that you're supposed to achieve.
So how do you get the group together and say, okay, we've got five people, let's develop the KPIs for each of us to achieve this goal we're trying to achieve for the business or this desired outcome? How do you do that? What do you teach? What skills do you teach?
So the first thing is first to know exactly what is needed. So as I said, the roles. You have to first get the roles. And once you have the roles, then you say, what would be required within this role? And then you discuss it with the person and say, can you do this? Like, does this make sense? Or is there something else that we need to add or change or explain better? And then once you both agree, and then you're on the right track.
How do you find, so say four or five people get together and put a business together. One is assuming that each one can develop a role that they can grow in. What if they don't? Like, in other words, there may be clear gaps missing within that group to achieve certain, or there may be overlap, right? How does a team deal with that?
So we also say that it doesn't have to only be the people within your team that do the work. You can outsource. So if there's no one in the team that, let's say, knows finance, they just not finance people, you can always outsource that to a finance company. And obviously manage them, not just leave it in their hands. I never want that to happen, because then you can just get in big trouble. So making sure that you can manage them, but you need someone who's professional to do those things, like SARS. You know, like, you don't want to be sitting there trying to figure out how do you submit these documents, and then you do it wrong and then you're in big trouble. Yeah. So you need to have someone professional to help you with that if you don't have anyone in your team that is qualified to do that. So that is the way around it. Even marketing, let's say someone's like, no, I don't know. None of us know marketing. We're not good at social media, but we need social media. What are we going to do? Outsource.
So this is just one before we move off the roles and responsibilities of the HR. So you got four or five people together. They're building a business. They've got key responsibilities. How do they decide who's going to be the CEO?
Well, usually there's one person who brings the people together. That's usually how it works. It's right. Like any time that I've seen someone start a business, it's always either one or two people that say, we want to do this, and then they bring in other people. So even there where there's two people, they decide amongst themselves who's going to be the main CEO and who's going to be another role. Or they can be joint CEOs. I've seen that as well. You know, so that's up to them. And then all the other people fit in below them, because that's just how it's going to work. You can't have everyone being a CEO.
Sure, sure. But, and do you find that, and do you teach or lecture and explain that over a period of time roles can change, right? They may start, they need to reevaluate and their roles, and those may change over a period of time.
For sure, they may change. You might see that someone else is a better fit. You might see that the person in that role is not enjoying it, or they just feel bored because it's, you know, not they've grown out of it. Then they can go to another role. That's fine. But that's the whole point of key performance management, is to see, are they on the right track? Is it working out or not? And then you can, you know, move them around if it isn't.
Absolutely. Okay, great. So we've got the two roles. We've got HR and role responsibility.
Yes.
Those are the first two steps. Mm-hmm. Key steps, get them done and sorted. Where would the team, where would the training go on to as the next step?
So then we have step three, which is identifying what is the business that you're going to run. So in here, it's what is the topic. So it could be in a school situation, like, what problem do we want to solve? Is it going to be drug abuse? Is it going to be teen pregnancy? Is it going to be lack of teachers coming to class? You know, what are those issues that we're trying to solve? But in a business context, what are the gaps in the market? What are the opportunities that we can actually find that we can solve? Or we can find a gap in the market and we can plug that gap and start a business. So it's seeing what the need is, because that's very important. I mean, just creating a product just because you like it doesn't mean you're going to have customers for it. Mm-hmm. So you have to see what are the needs.
Right. Yeah. And so what models do you use to take the team through that to maybe try and identify those needs?
So the first thing is SWOT analysis. It's always the basic first thing.
So we may want to define it for our listeners. What's a SWOT analysis?
So it's the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So you would look at your area specifically, or your industry, depending on what it is, and you'll look at all the strengths in that area. So let's say you've got a neighborhood and you want to do something that's local in your neighborhood. Okay, you want to set up a shop. So you say, what do we have in this neighborhood? What are the strengths of the neighborhood? You say, well, we've got a school, that's fine. We've got a pharmacy, we've got a doctor, we've got all those things. Great. Those are the strengths. Strengths are, we have roads, we have water, we have power, all those things, fine. Then the weaknesses. What are the things that are lacking? So you say, the weakness is we don't have a dry cleaner. There's no dry cleaner. So that's already one thing. Okay, that could be a business. Let's put it down as an option. And we say, we don't have a special, like, recreation area for teenagers. Okay, that's another option. Fine. So you think of the weaknesses, and then opportunities would be maybe those things could become opportunities, or you'd think of other opportunities that come up, such as, you know, there's no kind of festivals that happen in this area. You know, like everyone just does their own little thing, but there's no like big festival of the whole area coming together. So that could be an opportunity. And then you look at threats. So what are the threats? A threat is crime. The threat is, that's how CAP started. Mm-hmm. Exactly that. Yes. No, threat is crime. Let's fix it. There we go. So that's exactly how it works. Like you look at what there is and what there needs to be. Even with an example of CAP now with the green program that they do, they saw there's a gap in the market. There's no one doing greening, and they added that. Yeah. So everything's gap in the market. You have to look at those things.
So that's an amazing way to approach it. But I want to ask you this. So, and we were speaking a bit about it earlier in the show, that we got ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Is there value in terms of a group going through the because you can just plug that question into ChatGPT and say, give me a SWOT analysis of this, and literally in less than a minute, you'll have a very comprehensive list done and dusted. But and you're the trainer, and you've gone through this, and I'm sure you've potentially looked and seen both options, but is there advantage in terms of the group going through the process? In other words, taking a day, half a day, sitting down as a team, taking out a whiteboard,
writing out. You're jumping ahead. That's coming up.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, that's the teamwork.
Because
really what I'm asking you, is there, and it might be one of the next steps, then I'm not going to go there. So then maybe I'll just park that. But I would think that one needs to, as a team, work through a process, right?
Exactly. No, 100%. So what you do, the SWOT analysis is just to get the groundwork. To see what is there. And then what you do next is you map
is this
the challenge.
Step four?
Step three. Step three's got many things in it.
Okay, fine. Okay, so go for it. Sorry, I'm interrupting your process.
So mapping the challenge is where you draw a picture, and it doesn't have to be to scale or anything, but just like a little visual where you can write down all of those things that you were speaking about in the SWOT. So you can like see a picture of, let's say it's a school, and you say like this area, they don't have a playground, that area they've got people are taking drugs there in the corner, there the classroom doesn't have any desks, whatever. So you can see everything at one glance. So that's quite an important exercise to do, to see everything. And if it's not a physical thing, then to see the industry.
So visualize what you're trying to do.
Yes. And then the next one is the one you were talking about, which is the sense-making tool. And we actually got this from a master's program, and they allowed us to put it in. So it's all about creating a systemic stairway, and then it's more the sense-making tool and then the systemic stairway. So what you do is you take five of the top things that you were talking about, five options that you could use for your business, and you put them into a little diagram. And then you sit in your group, remember teamwork, and you discuss which one is the most profitable one out of these options. So you'd go... See, it's like a little star diagram. If you
For those of you listening, Amanda's just showing me a pictorial presentation of what this involves, which actually looks very impressive.
So it's got the five blocks, and you can do more later, but I'd start with five because you can get a bit overwhelmed.
Yes.
So then you compare the one to the other, and I do this in the Autjet training. Like we actually go through this whole process with ideas that people come up with in the session, and it always comes out with something amazing. So you sit there and you say, like in the school example, let's say there's academic performance, which is one thing that we want to improve. But another thing is learners are hungry. So which one out of those two would you think is the most urgent or important to solve? And now we discuss it. Which one do you think, the hunger or the academics? Which one would you work on first?
I'd work on hunger first, because you can't do your academics if you're hungry, right?
Exactly. And that's what everyone in this team said as well. There's no right or wrong answer. So they said the learners are hungry is more important. So the arrow went from the learners are hungry box to the academics box. Then they said, okay, from the academics to the lack of textbooks, which one would be the more urgent one? And then they drew the arrow. So the arrows went around like that, but you can see ratios at the end. So the learners are hungry had three arrows going out, which means it is the most important, and one going in. So now that becomes the driver in the stairway. So now the bottom of the stairway, the driver is the hunger. And then as you solve the hunger, then you solve the textbooks, then you solve the substance abuse, then you solve the absenteeism, then the last one is the academic performance. Isn't it going to improve automatically? If all those things are improved, then the academics are improved. So that's the outcome. So you work from the driver to the outcome. It helps you to prioritize, what do we do first? How do we get there? It can be different business ideas. Mm. It can be different elements within the process of getting the idea done. You can use it for anything. But it's a very good way to brainstorm, because remember, you can have an argument now. You can say to me, no, I think learners are hungry is more important. I'll say, no, I don't think so. I think academics are more important, because if you don't go to school and you don't learn, then you're going to stay hungry. And then we have a debate and we discuss. So and especially if there's a big group. And then you have to convince, and then finally you agree, and then you put it in.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite a nice
process. I think it's an excellent way to actually try and dissect a business problem in terms of what the drivers are, and teach individuals how to put it together to actually put it into their business plan, right?
Yeah. So that's what they do in that section. That's the end of step three.
Fine. So step three would then be, what would they come out of having
with the business
three?
Idea.
The business idea.
Or three business ideas that are options. And then step four is when they have to refine.
Okay. We'll go to step four now. But I think just before we go to step four and just before we take a break, just to let our listeners know that we're chatting to Amanda Blankfield-Kossoff, founder and CEO of Empowervate, Trust Youth Citizens Action Program, and you're listening to the AltJet Business Show.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The seasons are changing, and at the Hatfield Motor Group, it's officially hunting season for the best deals on new and used vehicles. Hear that? That's the call of the perfect family SUV. Big, strong, and ready to handle every school run and holiday road trip. Need speed? Our sports cars are sleek, powerful, and built to move. And for the adventure lovers, the Lion's Roar means rugged buckies and off-road SUVs ready to rule any terrain. Track down your next vehicle today at hatfieldmotorgroup.co.za, where the hunt for the perfect drive ends. Rated number one in service.
The AltJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
I'm Avron Urison. You're listening to the AltJet Business Show. I'm standing in for David Zardell. And we're having a fascinating chat. I'm speaking with Amanda Blankfield-Kossoff, founder and CEO of Empowervate, Trust Youth Citizens Action Program, and really dissecting a program that she's running within the community and at AltJet, and is really fascinating. If you'd like to interact with us, and I am getting a few questions in, please WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. We'd love to hear from you. And if you've got any questions on the program or like to input in terms of how we're putting this business plan together in an active way, please let us know. So, Amanda, we are moving from step three to step four.
Mm-hmm. So step four is all about analyzing the topic and doing a baseline study. So analyzing the topic, we do the SMART analysis. So specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. And then we take the top three ideas from step three and we put them through that process and we give them a rating. So the one with the highest score is usually the one you're going to choose. So you would go through each step and you'd say, okay, is this specific enough? You know, is it too general or can we make it more specific? Is it measurable? Is it something we can actually see making a change in what we're trying to do? Is it going to actually do what we're looking for? Attainable? Is it something we can actually do? Like, it's build a rocket to Mars. You know, yes, Elon Musk, fine, but are we all Elon Musk? No. And then relevant, is it relevant to our time or is it something that just does not fit into what we're doing? And time-based, are we going to manage to do it within a certain time or is it something that is not going to be possible for the next 50 years? So you need to just use that system to determine if it's actually going to work.
So they'd run the idea or the top three ideas they came out with through the SMART system. Yeah. You obviously tell them how to grade it because people don't know how to grade things. So I presume you would teach them how to grade those points and then they would tally it up and come up with which is the
score,
which is the score on each and then which one they should move on with.
Exactly. And then they do a baseline study, which is basically saying what is the situation right now before we start. So in that specific thing that you've chosen to do, that topic, that industry, that business, what is the situation now? So let's say you are starting a new independent school. So you say, which other schools are there that are competing with me? So you need to understand the landscape. You know, what are the needs of the kids these days? Like, what kind of school are they looking for? What kind of parents are we going to contact? Because we can't just go to all the parents. It has to be a specific target market within the parent group. You know, how are we going to access that? So all of that stuff of, you know, where are we in this ecosystem? Where are we going to fit in and how are we going to tell everyone, here we are?
And we launch our business. But is that a baseline study? Is that desktop research? Is that going out to markets?
That's first desktop.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's doing research. That's where ChatGPT can help you with some information. And also, I think with chat, what I want to mention just now is you shouldn't just take what it gives you at face value, but like let it ask you questions so that it makes you think more. So you can say, I'm trying to do this. What do you think are the right questions to ask me so that I can come up with better ideas? So it actually is a prompter rather than just giving you information, because a lot of the information that it gives you is firstly general, and secondly, that also hallucinates.
It tells you what you want to hear.
Yes, it's very sweet.
And I do want to preface this. I said chat, but there are many AI models, we just want to say. And what you are saying, so let's just be clear here, you're saying it's okay to use AI, and one should use AI, but obviously have a discussion with AI and narrow it down and ask those questions and use it as an interactive tool.
Exactly.
But that doesn't replace your group work, right? In terms of
You can't just copy and paste, like, here's my business plan.
Yes. Nope. Which obviously I'm sure a lot of people are tempted to do, but you've got to get practical with it.
Yeah.
Fine. So you've gone through that baseline study. Is that a competitor analysis, or is a competitor analysis part of it?
This is part of the competitor analysis, but there's something else that comes up that is more supporters than competitors. So I say this is more the competitor part.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
So that's important to find out who the competitors are, and then seeing what your unique selling point will be, like why you instead of them. And then step five is finding the target supporters and the population and brainstorming solutions. So in this kind of situation, the solutions would be, you know, how are we actually going to implement this to solve the problem? Remember, the problem was, you know, there's no independent school that does the specific thing that we do. So how are we going to do that? Brainstorming ideas around that. So the target supporters would be, you know, who are we going to get support from? Especially if, like, so you're starting a school, you have to get support from an education body. Is it going to be registered internationally, locally? Which board do you have to go to and get that accreditation? You know, which other supporters do you need? Do you need sponsors? You know, you're going to have a sponsored model, or you're going to have investors. Who are the supporters that you need? And then what do you need to get from them, and how are you going to do
it? Well, I was about to say that if it's in the private world, you want to put up a dry cleaning store, whatever, bakery or whatever it is, you're going to say your sponsors are going to be your investors, right?
Exactly.
Do you spend time saying how you go find investors? Is that coming up still? Okay,
it's
fine.
Coming up. So then the target supporters is that, and then the target population is your target market. Who are you targeting? Like, who do you want to get the message out to? So as I said, it depends. If you're doing an independent school, what kind of parents are you looking for? What kind of kids are you looking for? Is it primary school? Is it secondary school? Like, all of those things. So that would be the target population that you would be analyzing. Because you have to be very specific. You can't be general about this.
Yeah, and I find that also with people doing business plans, you say, who's the profile? No, it's for everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a big, and I'm sure you also lecture that in your course. It can't be. You've got to get very narrow about who exactly is your target market.
Exactly.
Do they do any market research? I mean,
yes. That's from this, basically, this becomes like an action plan where you do the market research.
Fine.
So this is still the thinking stage.
Okay, we're in the thinking stage.
Yeah.
That's going to, okay.
Then we use the thinking hats. So the dream, danger, and do, which used to be the six thinking hats, De Bono's six thinking hats. But now we've narrowed it into three. So the first one is the dream. What is the vision? What is the goal? What is the dream? So you need to understand that very clearly. Otherwise, you're not going to get there. We'll not get close to there because you never achieve an actual vision. Danger is like, what are the things that could go wrong? Like, let's think about, you know, how we would mitigate the risks that could happen. And then do is, what do we need to start with? How are we going to begin? You know, what do we need to complete the first action and get going? Because remember, we have to actually do something. We can't just talk about this anymore because step six is doing now.
Okay, fine. Just before we go into doing, I like that, the dream, the danger, and the do, particularly the danger, the risk. I find a lot of people develop plans, but they don't do risk. Well, what are the risks of what we're doing and how can we mitigate the risks, right, in terms of prevent them from happening? And I think when people develop business plan, they don't often think about that.
And other things about danger is the unmitigated risks and the consequences that are not intended. You might think that you're doing something amazing, but then there's an unintended negative consequence that you haven't thought of, and what are you going to do about it? So it's very important to
Great step. Love that. Okay, so let's go on to step six.
Okay, step six is the planning of the actions, the budgeting, the raising finance, or whatever it is to do with fundraising or raising finance.
The fun part or non-fun
part.
Yeah,
exactly, depending on who you are. Some people like it, some don't.
Yes.
That's where you outsource if you don't like it.
Yes.
So that is putting together an action card. So it's very clear and you can see exactly what is going to happen and you can measure yourself. Because a lot of the time people want to do things, but they don't get to the practical level of how are we actually going to do this? What is the first step we need to do? And who's going to do it? And like, what do we need? So that's what this puts together. So what is the action? Number one, the action. And I know Tony Robbins does a very similar one. I was actually doing his course and I'm like, hey, we do something very similar.
Okay.
So what is the action that we need to take? Who are the people that are going to do it? What resources information do we already have? What resources information do we still need to get? So that's where the research comes into it. That market research, all that research. What time is it going to cost us? How long will it take to get this done? And the specific action. And then what cost will it be? The price, the cost. You know, maybe we have to pay a consultant to do this research. What's it going to cost? Money that we have. Maybe we already have money. We've come in there with, you know, money that we're going to use. Or maybe we need to get money. So money we have versus money that we need. So that is the first step. And you do that for every action. So it can be a very long list. But at least you can see everything. And as you do it, you can tick it off and know it's done. So it's not
just a practical way to approach what needs to be done. Talking about the financial and fund, do you give advice in terms of your program, and is it part of step six in terms of how to go out there and actually raise funds?
Because
I think a lot of people just get into business, and no one's really been taught how to raise funds.
For sure. So obviously, you know, depending on what kind of business you're going to do and how much money it's going to cost, as I said, sometimes you already have money for it. That's one thing. Or sometimes you have, you know, something that you can sell something and make money and then do something. There's another person that I'm working with, collaborating with, and he says, you know, side hustles can actually become your business. You don't have to start with all the capital. You'll build your way up. Like, do it. Don't be like paralyzed by the whole planning. Like, do it and learn from it and grow and change it and develop it into what it's going to become. So I think that is the very important thing, is don't think that we have to go in there with like this huge budget. We can do a pilot and see how it goes and then build it from there.
I do often find that analysis paralysis, right?
Yes, big
people
time.
Get so caught in the business plan and planning and reiterations after reiteration, like the 300th version of the business plan and how to do it, and you just don't get anywhere very fast.
And the thing is, until you test it, you don't know if it actually works.
Yes.
So that's why doing a pilot, doing something small, and then working on that and saying, okay, so this worked, this didn't work, how do we do it better? That's the way to do it.
Mm.
Just having this beautiful, you know, vision and document is not actually going to be the answer necessarily.
Fine.
Yeah. So you learn on the job, basically.
Okay, so step six, encouraging people to get out and get going.
Exactly. So we say if there's a budget, you even start small. You can even start with selling things. You know, you can start with, you know, doing fundraising within your family or your group. You can actually make money like that. Start something small and then grow it. And then obviously if you have a big idea, then you have to go and get, you know, investors. But if you do a pilot, it's going to be easier to get the investors because they don't want to fund something that's not proven. So that's the other thing. Like, you come there like, I've got this great idea, I want to do it. They're like, but we don't know if it's going to work. We don't want to risk this. But if you say, this has already worked in this community, we did it here, and look at the results, they're like, okay, fine. Like, that's actually something.
You've got a small pilot that's showing success.
Exactly.
How do you build on that?
Yes.
We've got a 10-step plan. I think we've got 4 steps to get through.
No, we've got 3 more.
3 more. Okay, so just before we go there, just to let our listeners know, they're listening to the AltJet Business Show. I'm Avril Neurison. I'm chatting to Amanda Kossoff, and we will be back shortly.
The AltJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
I'm Avril Neurison, you're listening to the AltJet Business Show, and I'm standing in for David Zardell. We're chatting to Amanda Blankfield-Kossoff this evening, founder and CEO of Empowervate Trust Youth Citizens Action Program, and unpacking her stepwise approach to developing a business plan and getting a business built and going. We're moving on to step 7, Amanda, and you said there are 3 real steps to go through. So hopefully we can unpack those in the small amount of time we actually have left.
Yes, I'll be quick.
And so, then hopefully our listeners are getting a lot of input. If you've got any questions, please WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019.
Yeah. So step 7 is actually tying back to step 1 and 2 because it's HR related. But this is the part where you actually manage your team. You check how they're doing. And that's why we have, you know, the process of how do you, the KPIs, how do you actually performance manage? So that's step 7, checking, are you on the right track? Or as you said earlier, do you need to change people up?
Fine.
Do you need to retrain them? Do they need to go for some kind of course? Like, what is going on in the team management?
So step 7, you've launched, or you've got a minimal viable product going.
Exactly.
Right, okay, fine. And you're measuring it and just seeing how you're going and making all those small changes or adjustments and what you need to do.
Exactly. And then also it's where you start doing the actions. And when we say doing the actions, that's when you actually start. So it's doing that small pilot of your organization, your business, whatever it is. And then you also talk about the changes from the original plan to what you're doing. So you say, okay, so we thought we were going to do this, and then we tried it, didn't really work, so then we did that instead. And that is a very good learning experience, and you should document it. Because people want to know your story. How did you get to this? Like, you hear these stories about people, they were thinking of doing one thing, and then they totally pivoted into something totally different when they saw that that need is actually greater. So it's very important to document that and to see that your plan doesn't always work accordingly. You know, things change. And while you're doing it in action, it's not always the same as when you planned it. So that is important. And then moving on to step 8, so only 2 more. So step 8 is also going back to step 3. Step 3 was the research into what is the gap, what is the problem you want to solve. So step 8 is now showing the evidence that we actually solved this thing. Look, the problem was people didn't have the dry cleaner in their community. We started the dry cleaner. Now look, at everyone's so happy. This is evidence. We've got all these customers. We have repeat customers. We have campaigns going where people are coming back. You know, they get like a discount if they come 10 times and they're loving it. And we're even now launching a coffee shop to be in the dry cleaner. It becomes like a whole...
Is this still as a small project or as your business growing, or is this something that you need to continually do as your
business
grows?
Yeah, because that's the thing about business plans. If you just put it in the corner, you don't ever look at it again, you don't change it, then it's not really going to be helpful. So it needs to be a live document. Yeah. So then also proving impact and sustainability. So proving impact is it working? Is it what we wanted to do? Is it getting towards the goal that we wanted to achieve? And how do we prove that? Because remember, proof, as you said to me when I started, how do you measure that you're actually doing what you say? And I said, I've got UNISA. So if you, it's not going to be UNISA, it's going to be someone else that's going to, or another way of showing it, like your annual report. You know, in your annual report, is it going to show that you've actually achieved this much, you've grown that much, you're now five shops, you only had one last year, now you've got five. So it shows all of the growth and development, and that's important to have. That some people forget to document, and then when they need the information, they don't have it. So we say from the beginning, like, show exactly what you've been doing before, during, you know, when you've achieved the first milestone, celebrate small wins, keep the motivation up when things don't go well. You know, that kind of thing is also part of the team management. But especially here, when you want to prove that your impact is there, you have to have that information. And then sustainability. Is it sustainable, or is it like not making money at all? Like, we've been doing this for 5 years, and it's really not making any money.
Well, that's where I wanted to come. And I don't, do you cover that in your next steps, or is this done in this step?
In this step.
Okay, because often people are just, they're just not being successful for whatever the reason is, right? And they keep bashing at the business and leads to the detriment. And obviously people get into a lot of trouble about that.
Yes.
So sort of like, when is it time to call it a day? You're not succeeding, guys. Let's go back to the drawing board here.
Yeah. Well, that's why we say continual analysis. So you can see that the trajectory is not looking good. We have to do something different. If we do it the same, it's going to go the same way. So you have to think outside the box. You have to maybe bring in a consultant or bring in a someone who is successful to come and look at what you've done and say, okay, no, I can see.
Which
this
is what Orchard offers, right?
Exactly.
Get a, go
get
a mentor.
Get Orchard.
Yes.
Mentor.
Yes.
Exactly.
But it's important, and we're just saying it lightly, but it's important, if you don't have a mentor, go to Orchard for a mentor. But it's important to have someone to chat to.
For sure.
External, because often I find within teams they – you start believing all everything you are all saying together, but you're not testing it against someone external.
Yes,
and that's really what you're saying here, right?
Yes, exactly.
Keep checking where you are at.
Yes, and also having that objective view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the last step is all about, well, second last, is about the communication, the marketing, and all of those things. So the internal communication, making sure that you are communicating well with your team members, but then external as well. How do you communicate with your stakeholders, with your clients, your customers, with your community? You know, all of those kind of communication and marketing elements, social media, they're very important. If no one knows who you are, they're not going to come and support you. Like, you can have this car wash sitting there, it's beautiful, but no one is going there because no one knows about it. And that's where also campaigns and things like that come in. Like, you know, these days there's all loyalty programs everywhere you go. Everything's loyalty. Well, why did it come about? Because of that reason. They want repeat customers. So you have to think about that. Even though you have a small business, you can't just think, because it's here, people are just going to buy from me all the time. What's making you different from the competitors?
But if you're saying that, so your steps are not necessarily sequential, because when you're developing this on step probably 4 or 5, one would have wanted to start talking about communication, advertising, etc. So we're ticking boxes along the
this
process.
This is the documentation part.
Yes.
And then you go back and then you do the
You would probably
actions.
Have to order it yourself, ordering the steps to see where you need to, because communication would have to start happening from the beginning as your team to developing customers, etc. through the whole
this
process.
This is more the analysis of it.
Okay.
This is the report back. So the communication, it's like, it's assumed that you are doing the communication.
Yes.
And then the step 10 is just checking your own personal and team development to say, have I, you know, grown as a leader? Have I gone for extra training or read extra books or listened to podcasts that empower me to be a better leader? Because you can't just stagnate as a leader as well. And if you have any challenges, how are you getting support for that and seeing that you don't repeat the same mistakes, especially with managing people? And then regarding the team development, is the team doing well? Is there anything we need to do better? You know, that's why team building exists.
Yes.
Because you keep developing your team. You can't just say everything's fine and then like 5 years' time, it's not fine anymore because you haven't done anything about it. So you have to keep on developing your team. So that's what step 10 is.
Fine. Amazing, amazing program. So you go into Orchard and you take the mentees, you take them through this 10-step program.
It's called a boot camp, the business processing boot camp.
What do you expect them to come out with? So then now they've come, okay, they finished the 10 steps. Mm-hmm. I don't, how long does the program take? And I think you're running one in a week or two. We're not plugging that now because I think we might be full on that one, but for the next one. Mm. But so what do you expect the individuals who've gone through it come out with, right? Yeah. A lot of these individuals have started a business.
Yes.
They are struggling whichever way. They need mentorship. Mm-hmm. What are you? How do you measure your success in terms of what they come out with?
So firstly, at the end of the training, a lot of them are already saying, wow, like there's a lot of things I never thought of. You like, really showed me something I hadn't, you know, even looked at. And then the tools that we provide are very useful. So like that systemic stairway, that is a very good tool, and they can use that in anything. So I say to them, go home now. And go to your business, wherever you're working from, and go and do those exercises. Use these tools and actually do them practically so that they are useful to you, not just something that you've heard about and then you forget about. Like, actually use them. And then that's where the follow-up comes through. And then people come to me and they say, okay, can I chat to you about what I've done? And you can tell me if I'm on the right track. So that's
What are those interactions like? Have you found that it's been very valuable?
Yes.
I mean, I'm presuming you have, but I'm interested to hear.
Now, I've had some amazing feedback of people who found that this has really helped them and given them a whole new perspective.
Fun. So it's really impactful, both for our Orchard businesses and for the community.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, I just want to say the work you're actually doing, amazing. I love this program. I mean, I can only just wish you great success with it and going out there. I presume you're working with a lot of other companies as well.
We're always looking for funding.
So you're going
all
through
NGOs
the steps?
Are.
Yes, okay,
I'm still
fine.
Going through those steps.
Fine. But I can just wish you all the success in this program, and it's so enlightening, so educational, both for school kids and for individuals and mentees who are building businesses.
Yeah.
And I presume you've been building it for how many years?
Well, 17 in total.
Right. And hopefully at least another 17 years as you grow. Last question, have you found it very useful in the South African environment for businesses?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. Amanda Blankfeld-Kosser, founder and CEO of Empower by Trust Youth Citizens Action Program. Thank you so much. It's been enlightening. Hopefully we'll be able to bring you back onto the Orchard Business Show. And just good luck with all your work. And it's been absolutely delightful to interview you. And best of luck
Thank
for
you.
Your endeavors. Just before we wrap up this evening, I just need to give a quick plug again to Ort South Africa. They are turning 90. Amanda, what do you think about that?
No,
an
that's
organization
amazing.
That's turning 90. Hey? No. I mean, they've really stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
They were launched in 1936, and this is their 90th year birthday. And there's a big call out to all alumni. If yourself, your family, your parents, your kids have interacted with All South Africa or have been uplifted in any way, please reach out and call them on 011-728-7154. That's 011-728-7154. Or email them at info@ortsa.org.za. That's info@ortsa.org.za. Or you can just go into the website, ortsa.org.za. Or when you contact them, ask for Tracy or Helene or Ariella. And we'd like to reach out to all of you. And there's also, just to mention, there's a sponsorship pillars program that if you've been impacted at all, you can promote or sponsor a pillar that will stand in the All South Africa framework and network, and just will describe, obviously, the impact that All South Africa has had in that individual's life. So please look out for that. A lot of information will be coming down the line. I've absolutely enjoyed the show. It's been great back to being in the interview seat. And next week, Dave should be back. I don't think Dave will be back next week because actually next Thursday evening is Passover, Jewish Pesach. So I'm not sure whether the next show would probably be after that. But please listen out. The Orchard Business Show every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Have a good evening and be well.